Welcome to the Road of Faith Seminar, my friends. My name's Ken Fletcher. So glad you're here with us, and I hope you stay with us through the seminar. A lot of great things coming up. We've been talking about the fact that you can hear clearly thought to thought from Jesus. And some people think that's not possible. But I have proven it wrong in my own life because I do. And I know that you can too. I mean, if you're a believer, this is the kind of relationship he wants to have with you. And so I haven't done anything that nobody else can do or that really I haven't done anything that a lot of people have already done. But I know in talking with believers now, I know that a lot of people aren't hearing like that. They're not hearing Jesus clearly, thought to thought, 24/7. I believe we should. I believe that probably you're going to hear him a little different than I do. I hear him in Southern English, and you're going to hear him in a different sort of a way than I do, in a way that you understand. And that relates with you and where you're at in your level of understanding and your level of growth. And he will talk to you and deal with you in that manner. And wherever you are in growth and understanding, that's where the Lord will talk with you. And listen, he's interested in everything that we're involved in. He really is. Anything that we're interested in, he's interested in. You say, well, how do I know that? Well, listen to me. You got kids. Some of you do, some of you don't. But if you got kids, you're interested in everything that them kids are involved in. If you're a good parent, you're interested in everything they're involved in. Why? Because they're your kids and you love them and you want the best for them and you want to help them and you want to protect them and you want to do whatever is necessary to make so that things will be well with them. That's the way you think about your kids. Well, our Father, our Heavenly Father, is no different in that regard. And so he is interested in everything that you're involved in, that you're interested in. And he wants to communicate to you, and he wants to lead you in his way. Yes, he does. He wants to guide you in his way. He wants to be involved in everything that you're involved in order to lead you in the best way. Well, I want his best. I want his best. So I'm going to go to him and ask him what I should do on things and in my life in general, which direction I'm going, what I'm thinking, what I'm deciding, what I'm looking at. And man, I want him involved in all of that, all of it, because I don't see right the way I should, the way I understand. I see a lot better than I used to. I understand. I've got more wisdom than I've ever had in life, but there's so much I don't see. And you too. If you're honest, if you're just got level honest about it, there's a lot of things you don't see. And if you're not there, if you're thinking that you're seeing more than you really are understanding more than you really do, you're in deception somehow. Many people that are in religion, involved in religion, are in some sort of deception about God and the relationship that we have with him. They're in some sort of deception, different degrees of it, depending on where and how and all kinds of things there. But religion is not what we are in the Lord. We have a life relationship. We are a blend with him. This is what we have with him. It is not religion. Father is not religious. People think that he's like that. No, Father is relationship. That's what Father is. He's all about family. Yes, that's what he's about. Just if you're a father, you about family. You about wanting the best for your family. That's what you're about. Well, he's the same way. we put all these, oh, God, and we even say, dear God. We put on a different voice talking about God. We get ready to pray, dear Father, dear God, we are coming to you today, and we are so religious, and you hear us when we pray like this. You see how silly that is? People think that's really, they think that's God. They think that that's the way God is. He's all about relationship. He's all about love. He's all about your best. That's what he's about. And that's the way he is. Praise God. And he loves you. And there's nothing too good for you. Did you hear me? There's nothing too good from their standpoint. From Father's standpoint, there's nothing too good for you. And the problem is that we just don't believe that. Like we should. Nothing too good for us. It almost sounds kind of prideful and arrogant, but it's just the way he is. It's just the way he feels about it. And he proved it. When he sent Jesus, there's nothing too good for you. My friend, nothing to, he sent Jesus. And in Jesus is everything, everything, everything good is in Jesus. Everything that we've needed is in Jesus. Everything that we were lacking in our relationship is in Jesus. Praise God. Well, he's in us now. If you're a believer, he's in you. And you're one with him and you're one with the Father. Well, the idea is not to be dull and controlled by outside things, things that's going on in the natural realm, things that are happening in your life. I mean, you can be so, so busy thinking about things in the natural realm, things moving, things, and what people thinking and what people are doing and all the news and all of the things, so many things in the natural realm. And we could be so involved with it all that we miss his direction. And we miss him speaking to us. We should be internal minded. What I mean by that, my father in faith, Kenneth E. Hagin, used to call it God inside minded. Be God inside minded and looking to him. And seeing where he's headed here, because this is such a, out here in this natural realm, it's fallen, it's messed up, it's full of deception and lies. And Father wants to guide us through that, and the Lord's going to guide us through that by the Spirit of God, how he wants us, where he wants us to go. And there's such, the people here are so valuable that the Father wants us to touch them with the message of Jesus and do for them and prove to them that he loves them. And, oh my goodness, what a privilege to do that. What a privilege to do that. And in order to do that, we need to be thought to thought with the Lord. You see, we need to understand his ways and way he wants to do something today. Maybe different than he did it yesterday. Maybe another way he wants to do it. I ask him every day, oh, Lord, what's important to you today? You know, what do you want to do today? What's important for us? And I say it that way because what's important for you for that day is a different importance than what I have for that day. So I go to him, and you should too, and ask him, Lord, what is important to you today for us? What's important for us, you and I? Because I'm committed to whatever he wants to do, however he wants to do it. I'm committed to that. And so I look to him for his daily direction, for what he wants to do, how he wants to do it. Just seeking leadership from him all the time, because that's the only way I won't go. Well, he's got my will, that's why. And we've talked a lot about that in seminars past. Well, praise the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful for for this day. We thank you for this seminar. We thank you for my brother, my sister who's watching this the show, watching this seminar, Lord. And we give you praise for what you're doing here. We give you thanks for what you're actually bringing to pass in our lives through faith, through understanding your ways. And we thank you, Lord, for leading us and speaking to us clearly how you want this seminar to go. And for my friend there who has watched and perhaps is committed on this journey. And we thank you, Father, for your blessings on them. Oh, thank you for opening things up. You see their heart. You see all about it. And we give you thanks, Lord. And perhaps there's some that are hurting, that are looking at us today, that are just hurting and dealing with stuff that's just monumental. Father, I ask for your grace upon them as they watch. May your spirit be with them and help them and deliver them and show them answers and keys and things that's going to work for them and show them the way out of these things and deliver them in the name of Jesus. We give you praise for all of these things, Father, and helping us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, we were talking about the entryway to the Master, to the Father. The entryway is humility. And boy, that's the thing. It's so vital. And as I said last week, I think it's possible that this could be the most important one, because the other ones wouldn't matter really without this heart condition, without this thing happening and this thing working in you. And that is the humility that you approach the Father with the right heart attitude. Amen. Praise God. There's three things that the Lord impressed me with about what I did. I sort of fell into it, didn't realize about these things, but he began to show me just a few days later about some of these things. So I'm getting the opportunity to share with you however he wants this to come out, what took place there for your benefit. And I know he wants that relationship with you the same way as with me. He desires that. We're the ones on our part. We're the ones that decide and desire, because even though he wanted that with me, he never coerced me. He never pushed. He never prodded me or anything like that. It was something that was deep down in my heart that I just, it was a deep desire down in my heart that I wanted him to have everything. Now, that's where everything started. Now, all of these other three elements are the things that was working in me. It brought me to this place. And I didn't realize it until he showed it to me. And of course, the first thing was that was in the first of the three things that was working in me was humility. Now, some other people may look at me and say that I'm arrogant, you know, or prideful or whatever. But you know what? The Father looks in my heart, and the Lord sees my heart, and other people don't. So I'm checking with him, right? I'm checking with him a lot where I am with him, because I know that without him having my complete will, that if he doesn't have that, then these other things are irrelevant almost. So it's almost like he knows and understands. And so I'm sure I'm just trying to make sure on my part, because I know what his part's all about. I know he's thinking about me. I know that it's not my fault is not the fault or the problem is not in where he's at. At least I got enough sense to figure that out. Some folks don't yet. Hopefully they will soon. But I know that he's after my good. And that was the part, one of the big factors when I gave him everything. I think, man, I know he loves me. I know he's watching out for me. I know he's taking care of me. I know he's providing for me. I know all of these things. He's the one that gives me peace. He's the one that gives me guidance. He's the one that gives me leadership. And all of these factors went into me, and I realized, and all I could sense from him was love, you know. And the love that I felt sensed, realized, and have proven over these many years with the Lord that he kept me and all kinds of things. I mean, I can't, just so many things that he has done for me. And in that moment after he picked me up and I shared that moment with him, and meant so much to me. I just, man, I loved him. I gave him, I said, man, I give you everything. Everything. Top to bottom, side to side. I don't care what it is, who it is, where it is. It's all his. Now, when I did that, I said to myself, this is for time and eternity. This is for now and later. I just loved him, and I wasn't going nowhere. I got no other plans, but whatever plans that he has for me, those are the plans that I want. Now, those are the ones that are important to me, is what he has now. Not for what's important to me or what I want to get done. No, what's more important to me than any of the any things that I came up with or that I had previous, what was more important? What do you want to do, Lord? Because now you got it. You got everything. You got me. You got all of me. What do you want to do? What do you want me to do? Well, a whole lot of things begin to change. And I've been trying to share. Since March 9th, I have been trying to share of 2022. I've been trying to get across to folks what happened. And, so many people, believers, they just don't relate. You know, so many just don't relate and they just don't get it. I'm seeing it's because of all this outside stimuli. Believers are just so much like the world in so many ways, and we shouldn't be. We should be getting all our direction, all our information, our leadership every day from the Lord inside, and so that is so much different than what the world's doing. I promise you that. They have so many different motives and so many selfish agendas. And so many things that they're doing, but it's apart from what he wants. Well, how many believers are going to say, I want what you want, Lord, more than anything I want. I don't care what it is. More than any of those things. And I'm just seeing in our day, in our day, that there's not that many. Seems like so many are just so distracted with so many things in this natural realm, this present world. So many. And the Lord has impressed upon me, man, you can't love this world. You just can't, because it's all temporary and it's not going to mean anything. And in our lives. But what will mean something is the people that we're here with in this present realm. In this present time, in this realm, what matters is them. You are what matters. That's what matters. Not the stuff. Stuff is just stuff. Thank God for nice stuff. I was thinking, God, of course, we have hot summers here in Las Vegas. And I'll tell you one thing. I'm so thankful for a good air conditioning. I'm so thankful for good air conditioners. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it gets real hot here in the desert, but you know, he is faithful but this, it's just stuff, man. Thank God for the stuff. Thank God for the good things that it brings to our lives, but it's just stuff. It's temporary. It's the people. It's the people, man. And so many believers are so distracted and they just don't get it, man. They just don't get it. And they think that going to church is just going to church and just being, you know, and going once a week or twice a week or however many times they go. And they think that and they listen to they enjoy the praise music and the sermon, but they kind of go back to their normal lives, and they're pretty much like the world, pretty much like a person in the world, doesn't know the Lord. That shouldn't be happening with us. I mean, people should know, man, that we love Jesus, man. And we're committed to Jesus, and we love people. They should know that. They should realize, man, when they got something happening to them, they should go, they should realize, my goodness, let me go to brother or sister so-and-so and let me get them to pray. Or maybe they're not even a believer, but they know you love Jesus, and they'll come to you, ask you to pray for them, help them. Or maybe a door opens up and you just, can I pray for you? I mean, what a blessing. And the people, that's what's important here. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what you're involved in. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care what kind of big house you live in. I don't care what kind of expensive car you drive, or no car at all, or no house at all. You see what I mean? It doesn't matter. That stuff is temporary stuff. What's important is that person, man. That's what's important, is the person, the people, man, that we encounter every day. Those people, and that the Lord brings across our path to minister to. Those people, oh my goodness, those people, they are so important to the Lord. Praise God. And so, therefore, the leadership of the Holy Spirit, the clarity with the Lord, the thought to thought is so vital in our personal lives and in ministering and helping other people also and where they're at. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And the way that you get in this relationship is through humility. Amen. What does that do? I mean, it's a hard attitude where you come realizing who you're talking to, realizing who you are. He wants you to come. Yes, he does. It's not like he doesn't want you to come. Oh, my goodness. And if you're in there and if you make a misstep, he's going to knock you in the head. No, you don't do that. But what he does do is he expects respect. And he expects you to leave your pride at the door. You know, don't even attempt to come in with that pride. Now, it's not gonna work with him. You know, because he sees right through it all, and he knows that it's deception and lies. So that's why we resist. Why we resist our pride? You see. So we resist pride like he resists pride, only it's within ourselves. Because listen, if you're in this life and you're still breathing air, then you've got pride to deal with in you. Yes, you do. And we may have made some strides, you see, we still must understand that there's still things in us that is prideful. So therefore we need to humble ourselves, make a practice of it, make it a way of life, a humility, a spirit of humility, you see, not just in front of the Lord, but in front of other people. We don't want to come, you know, we don't have a proud or a haughty spirit. We want to have a humble, contrite. And a lot of people think, boy, if you're a humble person, you're a weak person then. Well, that's not true, because the most humble person that I've ever met is Jesus. And he's also the strongest person that I've ever met in every way. I mean, strongest in every way. And yet he's the most humble of any person I've ever met in every way. So that tells me right there that humility is not a weakness. Humility is a trait of someone strong. So if you don't have a lot of humility working in you, you may not be so strong, you see. But the more humility that you would have working in your life, the better it is for you when you approach the Father. So just humble yourself. Just be real. Because like I said, pride is falseness, you see. Amen. And why is it that we humble ourselves? Well, here in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5 says that for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And that's why. Oh, he'll resist you. I mean, you can be as prideful as you want to be, but you're not going to get anywhere with him, you know? It's to your advantage that you get somewhere with him. It's to your advantage that you get some real answers for your life. It's to your advantage that you have this thought-to-thought relationship with him. It's to your advantage. Of course, it's to his advantage as well. Then he gets to use you in a greater way. Then he gets to speak to you. Then he gets to direct your life and help you in more ways than he did before. But boy, it's for your benefit. Oh, let me tell you what, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to have this with the Lord. My goodness, it's a good thing. Helps so much in every. Do I still miss it? Mercy sakes, yes, I still miss it. I'm not sure if I'm gonna hit it 100% down here below or not. Probably not. But I'm shooting for it. I'm shooting for 100% clarity in everything in my life from the Lord. So am I hitting it 100%? Not yet. I don't know how close I am to 100%. But I know this much, that from before March 9th until after March 9th, 2022, before to after, oh, man, I'm not missing him near as much as I was before. Like I said, I was a believer for almost 50 years. So, yeah, I believe it's real important for you to have this clarity with him. And this honesty, hold nothing back from him at any time during the day, hold nothing back, because he knows where you're at anyway. But the fact that you have such an attitude like this with him, and such a closeness with him, that you both know, what's happening here. And so that's why I go to him and say, Lord, now, I says, you have all me now? Do you have all of me? Just checking with him to make sure that he does. From time to time, it'll just come in, because I realize, see, I know this much, that it's because of that I hear him so clear. Now, I can sense it sometimes trying to get on me, this thing that's trying to, you know, that I'm trying to take back some control over my life, you know, try to creep on me somehow, you see. And so I know if I want to hear clearly from the Lord, if I want to hear him like I'm hearing him, I want to be sure that he has all of me. That he has everything. And really, even though I think that I may have given him everything, I want to hear it from him. Yep, I want to hear it from him, because he's the one who knows whether I've given him everything or not. And he's the one that knows in your life too, whether you've given him everything or not. He already knows it. But the thing is, we don't know it sometimes. We don't know where we're at on things sometimes. Praise God. Amen. And we realize here that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So that means that if I'm humble, if I have a humble attitude before the Father, I come before the Father humbly, as I know, as real as I know, that I am going to obtain His grace. I'm in His grace. Boy, is that a good feeling to know that, just to have that, to know where I am with Him. Praise God. Amen. Of course, we went over to Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. It says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." Whew, my goodness. That right there, that statement of who He is. The high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Of course, that's Father. Whose name is holy. I dwell. See, now He's talking now. Right here in this part of the verse, He's talking. He says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. So he dwells, this is who he dwells with. And so if we're that person with the humble and contrite spirit, we're dwelling with him. Right there he said it. I dwell in the high and holy place. Well, that's where we are then. It is. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And boy, does he ever revive us. My goodness sakes. If we'll keep ourselves there, you know, if you just keep yourself there and just make that a priority of your life, that you, that he has everything, you know, that there's nothing held back from him, that he's got everything. He's got the house. He's got the cars. He's got whatever you don't have. He's got that too. He's got, I mean, the things that you do have, you have to realize, man, if it's good, it came from him. And, just give it to him back. Just say, Lord, I'll give you everything. Everything good that I have had in life comes from you. And I want you to have everything. Just have control over it all. Just take hope. Just have, and let me know what you want to do with it, and I'll do it. And listen, that's the way to live right there. Talk about free. Talk about it. Liberty. Just have him taking care of you and doing whatever he wants through you, directing you where he wants to go. Boy, that's that, because there's faith is working there, and you're hearing him thought to thought, and you're obeying him by faith. You're walking it out. You're doing it by faith. When he tells you something, you're gonna have to do it by faith, you see. So you get the opportunity to believe it, and you get the opportunity to walk it out and live it and actually do what he asks you to do and says to you to do. Amen. Well, you don't have to do it if you don't want to. Well, I want to know what he wants to do, because I want to go that way. Whatever that way is, whatever he's directing me to do, that's the way I want to go. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Boy, isn't that a wonderful scripture there, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Well, let's look at, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 18. Or perhaps you can get your electronic device there and look at that. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 4. And it says here that whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, y'all know who's talking there. It's the Lord that's talking there. And he's saying that the kingdom of God, basically you have to humble yourself as a little child in order to even enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. Very simple. The proud's not going to get, you know, they're not going to get too good, too far with God now. Not in that condition they're not. You see, if they could come to the place, if the proud person could come to the place and realize where they are with God, and if they will decide, well, man, I'm away from God, I need God, and if they will humble themselves, well, then guess what? God is there. Mm-hmm. Because they're at a point of reality. They may not know exactly all that's wrong with them, but if they'll just simply humble themselves before the Lord and show some respect, and let him help him. He will. He'll help him. Praise God. And Jesus is talking there, whosoever, that's anybody, therefore shall humble himself, that's you and me, doesn't matter, shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So the most humble person in the kingdom is actually the greatest, according to the master. Now, if you go back in the old covenant, you remember about Moses, that it was said about Moses as well, that that he was the most humble man, the most meek man in his whole generation, the Bible says. So that means out of everybody that was alive on the earth at that time, that Moses was the most humble man at time. Now, I want you to understand that of his generation, guess who was the most used of that generation? It was Moses. He was the most used by God of any man in that generation, but notice he was humble too. He was a very humble man, and God would speak to him face to face. Now, I mean, he didn't look at the face of God, you know, but I mean, he would talk to God just right there, you know. Of course, we know that was before the new birth. We know that was before the new creation took place through the Lord Jesus Christ. But back then, man, God would use Moses. It'd be one of the reasons he could use him, and one of the reasons that he could do what he did through Moses was because he was so humble, and he had such a humble heart before the Lord. And he was so it was said of him that in his generation he was the most humble man of all people in the whole generation. Amen. Before the Lord. And he certainly was the most used of his generation. Amen. My goodness sakes. I mean, the things that he did that God used him to do. And it shows us there that the humility of Moses, that God was able to do and wanted to have Moses close. And he wanted to direct him in these things, because Moses had this contrite heart where he was changeable. Did Moses miss it? Well, yeah, he messed up. So, but here's the thing. Look what God did through him. It was just remarkable. Well, I believe that the more humble that you're going to be, or that you decide. And now listen, that is you that does that. Okay. I could tell you all day long to be humble, but if you don't decide within yourself, I guess you could say, if you don't decide within yourself to be humble and be like a little child in front of the Lord, in front of the Father, if you're not going to be like that, then and decide within yourself, well, I could bark at you all day about it. Wouldn't make no difference. Or me, tell me all day, wouldn't make no difference. No, this is something that you decide in yourself. You position yourself, you see, as a little child. You see yourself that way. And you approach the Father seeing yourself that way. Yes, you do. Bring yourself low. See? Amen. And amen. He'll lift you up too. I mean, once you approach him that way, he begins to, show you things. And your life, listen, your life can turn. Your life can change based on your humility. I mean, everything in your life can change based on your humility. Because if you're humble before God, and if you're humble before people, and you can let Jesus use you and touch him and let him direct you, your whole life can completely change. Completely change. Amen. Jesus went on to say here in verse 9 of Matthew 18, it says, and he spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. So many do trust in themselves that they are right before God, or righteous, right standing with God. He spoke his parable, certainly said, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. He said, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican, or I guess a despised person in that society of that day, a tax collector dude, you know. He was a money guy. Greedy, they were supposed to be greedy, and they were despised by just about everybody. You know what I mean, the publicans. But he said, here the one guy went up, and he said, the Pharisee, one was a Pharisee and the other one was a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. And, you know, he thought, boy, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like this publican. I'm not like them extortioners and all that other stuff. Well, you can kind of see the pride that's soaking in this guy here, you know, self-exaltation, that he's right with God and all that, cause all the stuff he's doing. You know, all the right stuff supposedly that he's doing. So then he's right. And he's better than this publican over here. And then he goes on to say, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. How many people you know this like this? There are some. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, he said he was standing afar off. He would not so much lift up as much as eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, who was real there? That publican was real. That's who. Mm-hmm. And he approached God with humility, even though perhaps he had done a lot of things wrong. Guess who got heard that day? Mm-hmm. I tell you who got hurt. He was that old publican. He might have been a scoundrel. You know what I mean? But here, God heard him. And God will hear you too. If you have the right heart, he'll hear you. And he'll change your life. My goodness, he'll change you. And turn it out and maybe all that negative stuff that you have been or have done, he can turn that all around and put you on a positive road, and it just keep going up and up and up as you listen to him and follow him. Doesn't matter what you were before, praise God. Maybe you was like a publican, maybe you were a scoundrel, so what? When you come to the Father in humility, my goodness sakes, there's things that he can do with you. He can change things in you. He will change your whole viewpoint of yourself into his image and what he wants you to be and the kind of person he wants you to be and how to live. Amen. Boy, well, I don't think we got very far today. We're going to have to pick up here next week, I think, here, talking about the words of Jesus. Man, did he ever clearly spell things out for us, didn't he? I mean, he just lays it out there the way things really are and helps us to get a hold of, especially these parables. My goodness, they're like a picture of things and how things really are in the kingdom, how Father really is. Praise God. Well, I'm all out of time today, friends, and I'm so thankful that you have decided to spend this seminar with me. And we trust that the Lord has talked to you and perhaps sparked something in you, perhaps flipped the switch to give you another thought to realize this tremendous close fusion, this relationship that we have with the Lord inside right now. Every new creature, every believer has this now. I mean, you may not be experiencing it yet, but just stay with us and we're believing that the Lord will give you light as you go along. Amen. With us in this road trip. Praise God. Thanks for staying with us, and until next time, I want you to know I love you.